One day in mid-March, I took the New York City subway to the Grand Ole Opry. Well, sort of. I get off at Times Square. There's the iHeart NY Gift Emporium. Next to that is a three-level M&M's candy store. And the Christmas in New York Times Square store. And amid all that, my destination, Opry City Stage.
Hi.
My guide is Lisa Ann DuPont, Director of Communications for Opry Entertainment Group, the company formerly known as Gaylord Entertainment that owns the Grand Ole Opry House, the Ryman Auditorium, and radio station WSM.
So Opry City Stage, it's a restaurant. It's also a live music space. There's two different live music spaces. So there's within the restaurant, there's a stage. You can see live music every night of the week.
Visitors will also see artifacts of Opry history throughout the venue.
Then also in this display up here, there's photos of Johnny Cash and the Tennessee Three, and there's Roy Acuff sort of dancing with Cash, which is adorable. And then over here is DeFord Bailey.
And here's one of George D. Hay.
This is a solemn old judge, George D. Hay, saying good night, good morning, and lots of good luck, everybody.
I mean, he is the one who coined the name Grand Ole Opry sometime in late 1927.
That's John Rumble, senior historian at the Country Music Hall of Fame and Museum back in Nashville.
It was kind of a play on classical music. You know, Grand Opera. Well, you might not call it Grand Opera, but it could be called Grand Opry.
It's your Grand Ole Opry starring Roy Acuff.
Stars like Acuff, Cash, Patsy Cline, Dolly Parton, and others propelled the Opry to king and queen maker status in country music. And more than 90 years old, it's the longest running broadcast show in American history. DuPont says the Opry City Stage opened in late 2017 as an extension of that legacy.
Really to bring the Nashville experience up here to New York, to expand the Grand Ole Opry, to bring the Grand Ole Opry to more people, maybe that haven't come to Nashville yet.
This outreach isn't limited, apparently, to New York's 45 million annual tourists. Colin Reed, CEO of Ryman Hospitality Properties, told reporters on a conference call in February that the company is looking at several tourist-friendly cities, including Orlando and Las Vegas, for Opry City Stage sites. This is part of an effort to expand the Opry brand, which also includes executive producer credits for the Nashville television show, which ran for 6 seasons up until this year. A 2014 survey revealed that close to 20% of Nashville's 13 million tourists visited, at least in part because of the show.
And you know what? There's another big old family out there that would just love to embrace you with open arms, if you'll have us, of course. Juliet Barnes, would you like to be the newest member of the Grand Ole Opry?
New Yorkers have been showing an interest in the Grand Ole Opry for decades. It started 71 years ago and 8 blocks away with a two-night stand at Carnegie Hall in 1947.
While there were some people who thought, they're going to do what at Carnegie Hall? There were others who already knew and knew well.
Gino Francesconi is the director of the Archives and Rose Museum at Carnegie Hall. He says country music fans defied some of the city's cultural critics.
And those shows sold out. Billboard magazine showed that they made $9,000 for those two concerts. That's a lot of money.
Francesconi says the show drew a New York audience thanks to the 50,000-watt clear channel signal of its host radio station, WSM.
From Nashville, you know, it had been on since 1925, and it had a powerful transmitter. And this was one of the largest radio audiences in the country. In the 1940s, there were 7 million people living here.
The Opry returned to Carnegie Hall in 1961, and this time there was some blatant classism on display in the local arts press. John Rumble notes a fierce criticism from one New York City columnist and socialite.
Dorothy Kilgallen says, well, everybody should just get out of town, you know, if they're coming up here. You know, it was the old, we don't want anything to do with those hillbillies.
Head for the hills because the Higgs from the Sticks are coming. It was really severe. And she goes, remember when Carnegie Hall used to be associated with music?
Yet all the seats were filled.
Ultimately, that's really all that mattered at the end, you know, whether they sold out.
Opry mementos are everywhere inside the Opry City Stage, ranging from replicas of the Ryman stained glass windows to a giant 650 WSM sign hanging over the bar. DuPont also points out memorabilia on display from the Opry's archive. There's a Taylor Swift dress and a Porter Wagoner rhinestone jacket.
And then over there on the end with that big JD on the front is one of little Jimmy Dickens' suits.
One fine day as I was walking down the street.
Little Jimmy Dickens was one of the Opry artists, along with Vince Gill, Martina McBride, and Brad Paisley, that played at Carnegie Hall for the Opry's 80th birthday celebration in 2005. Gino Francesconi was there, observing the audience's reaction from behind the stage.
And the place was rocking. The people that were here didn't fly from Nashville. They were all locals, and they were having a wonderful time.
May the bird of paradise fly up your nose.
Nashville songwriter Chris DiStefano performed this evening as part of an in-the-round format that's proven so popular over the years in Music City. Opry City Stage has made sure to bring this part of Nashville culture to New York as well through a collaboration with the Nashville venue, Bluebird Cafe.
You know, the Bluebird is here twice a month up here at the studio at Opry City Stage, bringing in songwriters who you may not know by name, but when they get up there and they start doing their songs, they start singing a Keith Urban song.
In my mind, somewhere in my car, it's raining hard on the street.
And then you hear the story behind the song.
Keith Urban put his phone number into my phone and he said, the next time we have a song you believe in, he said, just skip everybody else, just send it right to me. So at 7 a.m. the next morning, I texted him.
Well, New York is the hub, and there's an audience here that's really unexplored, I think, in a lot of ways.
Erica Wollum Nichols is the general manager at the Bluebird Cafe. She booked this inaugural Bluebird at the Stage performance, which also included Nicole Gallen and JT Harding.
We didn't know what to expect, but to see this audience connect immediately and just like, woo, right over the top, that was incredible.
Performances like this are at the heart of the Opry's expansion plans. The company is looking to capitalize on country music's international appeal, citing a possible European Opry City Stage because of the continent's love of country music. And given the Opry's support at Carnegie Hall in 1947, 1961, and 2005, the brand has proven it can travel outside of Nashville and succeed. For WMOT, I'm Matt Follett.